Morning. Make sure this is on. Check. Is it on? Okay. Cool. All right, guys. You guys are doing great this morning? Good. Good. Like he said, AJ said, Revive last night was epic. It was amazing. The blessing to be a part of that as well. So if you guys haven't gone to that, make sure you go. It's really amazing. Amazing time of worship and just focusing on God. So this morning, guys, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. And while you guys turn this morning, I'll open this up with a word of prayer. Father God, we just come before you, Lord, and we just love you, Father God. We thank you for this weather, Lord, for just the coolness of the weather, Father God, it's so nice outside, Father God. And we just pray, Father God, that you speak to us this morning, Lord, that you just pierce our hearts, Father God, with this message, Lord, that we can come away after this morning, Lord, just with a better understanding of your word and what you have for us, Father God, and what you want us to do, Father God, what you want us to display, Father God. And I pray, Father God, for each one of these kids, Lord Jesus, that you speak to them, Lord, and you just speak through me, Father God. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so this morning, guys, has anybody heard of Mr. Rogers?
Yeah!
I love Mr. Rogers. I actually have a picture of him over here.
Yeah.
That's Mr. Rogers, and he is holding... I thought his name was King Richard, I said in first. It came to my attention from my good friend Ben that his name is King Friday the 13th. I don't know why. Friday the 13th? I know. I don't know. But his name is King Friday, and basically, I don't know if you guys, has anybody ever seen it? Have you seen Mr. Rogers? It's basically, Mr. Rogers starts off the show with, he puts on his little loafers, you know, and he goes to his closet, gets a sweater, and while he's singing his song, you know, Won't You Be My Neighbor, he says. Anybody remember that song? It's a cool song. And basically his whole message of that show, his whole goal was to help his audience become better neighbors, better people, kinder to their neighbors, and just better people, better neighbors. And so it goes on, and this trolley would take you into this magical land, you know, and it's all going through, and it shows King Friday has this big old castle, there's a bunch of puppets everywhere, and I think there's one inside of this big tree, I think. And but all these puppets, all these people are just helping each other constantly. They're being... excellent neighbors to each other. If anyone's like in trouble or hurting, they're always helping each other. And it's a really great show with a really great message. And I don't know if they're still play it or not. I haven't seen it lately, but it's a really great show. And now if you guys think about this, has anybody seen anybody on the side of the streets holding signs? Say anything. I've seen that a lot of times, guys, that when I'm driving or when I'm just anywhere around town, I'm driving to school, and you always see people holding these signs saying something of, you know, they're poor, or they need help, or even more, they're hungry. Just whatever message pertaining to their situation. And even on some of them, at the end of that message, it says, God bless you. And it just amazes me. And this morning, I have a few stories, actually, about encounters with people like that I'll touch on in a little bit. But if you guys read with me in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and that's where we'll be at this morning. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, pertaining to Jesus, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem at Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." So I'm going to have 2 points this morning, guys. Those of you who are taking notes, and I hope you all are taking notes. Our first point this morning is heartless men. Heartless men. If you read it with me again in verse 31 and 32, it says, "Now by a chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side." So in verse 31, we read about a priest coming, and he sees this man, and he just takes off. So I can imagine a priest. Keep in mind, this is a priest. He's supposed to be, you know, a man, a teacher of the word, you know, for the most part, you know, holy, doing, you know, what Jesus says. And he walks by, and then he sees the guy, and he's like, "I don't want to run into that guy. You know, he's kind of ugly on the road." You know, he just takes off. I can try to picture with me, and I'm not saying they would ever do this, because I know they wouldn't. But if you can picture, like, Skip Hytek or AJ even, you know, he's like walking down the street. He's like walking down Osuna or something, you know, and he's walking and he sees this guy and he's like, "Oh, man, I don't want to go by that guy," you know, or even Skip, you know what I mean? That's crazy. You'd expect them in that leadership role to go and help that person. He's bleeding. He's half dead. And you'd expect them to stop and help them, right? You know, being a pastor. And again, I know they wouldn't do that. You know, at least I hope they wouldn't do that. No, I'm just kidding, AJ. But you'd expect them to do that. So it says here, showing a priest came and turned the other way. And if you look in verse 32, it says, "Likewise, a Levite came." And this is even worse, I think, too, because a guy came and he stops. It says, and he came and looked. So I can imagine him walking, and he's like, "Oh, man. Guy's got blood everywhere. He's dying. Oh, this poor dude." That's crazy. You know what I mean? He stops and he looks down, and whatever he's thinking to himself, he's like, "Oh my gosh, this guy is bleeding. Okay, cool. Good luck, man. I'm going to go watch the game." You know? No. It's insane. That is crazy to me. They're both completely heartless. Not wanting to help that man in need. Clearly, they see him half dead on the road, and they just go and turn the other way. And it's just amazing to me, guys. And in Matthew, guys, Jesus talks about a parable here. And this one, I'll go ahead and read it to you guys. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.'" And then more down, it says that they answer, "Well, Jesus, when did we do this to you? When did we do this to you?" And then Jesus says, Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So Jesus, right off the bat, is comparing whatever these people did to those. They saw somebody that needed help, that needed to be clothed, that was naked, and they helped him. They saw somebody on the side of the road that needed to be fed, that was hungry. They helped him. Jesus said, whatever you did to those people, the least of my people, Jesus compares it to himself. You did it to me. And then Jesus goes on, and he says, then on my left side, he says, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then again they answered, Jesus, when did we do this to you? When did we go to you and minister to you and feed you and clothe you? And Jesus says again, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And Jesus ends in 46 saying, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's insane to me. That Jesus compares whatever we do to the least of his people, or whatever we don't do to the least of his people. He compares that we do the same thing to him. And in Matthew, guys, 22:34, it says about the Pharisees, see, what they would do is they would always try to catch Jesus in his words, constantly. And they were always trying to find ways to try to catch Jesus in his words, like meaning that if Jesus said something wrong, they wanted to catch it. They wanted to see if Jesus would say something wrong. So in 22 of Matthew, the Pharisees try to test Jesus, and constantly they're doing this throughout the New Testament. And he says, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And he says, and the second is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus is saying that the first and greatest commandment out of everything is to love the God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. But he says the second is this. It's the second greatest, to love your neighbor as yourself. What does it mean to love our neighbor, guys? What does it mean to love our neighbor as ourselves? You know, and I'll give you a few examples here. You know, when we see somebody on the road that's poor or holding up one of those signs that are hurting or hungry, you know, give them something to eat. Go to McDonald's and get them something. Or do whatever you can to help that person in need. And a few practical examples, guys, would be, I'd even say, even in your own home, if you guys are struggling with money, financial things, you know, and your mom has to do all these things on top of a million kids, she's cleaning and she's cooking and she has to do all these things, and, you know, without even asking her, go outside and rake all the leaves up. Go clean the bathrooms. Nobody wants to do that, right? That's probably one of the least favorite duties in the household to do is sit down and clean the toilets. You know what I mean? But your mom does it because she wants you to have a clean house. She wants to have you to live comfortably. So go clean the toilets. Go do something to show your mom, and more importantly, to show God that you're wanting to glorify him. Another way is if your neighbors, you know that they need help, they're struggling with money or something, you know, let your parents know, hey, I want to help them. Let's go to the grocery store and just buy some groceries for them and give them some food. You know, do that. There's a lot of ways where you guys can love your neighbor as yourself. And we're so blessed. God has blessed us with so many things in our lives that we take for granted too often. And the least we could do is to love our neighbors as ourselves. Love our unbelieving friends. Kill him with kindness. Show as much people as we come in contact with love, the love of Christ. If you look all in the New Testament, that's what Jesus did throughout the whole thing. He was healing people. He was feeding 5,000 people that were traveling miles to go see him teach. He was feeding 4,000 people. He was doing all he could to help the poor, all he could to help the hungry. And we need to be the same way, guys. There's a crazy amount of people in the U.S. and especially even in New Mexico that are hungry. Thousands, there are millions in the U.S. that are poor, that are homeless and need help. There's many organizations that you guys can get involved in, like Joy Junction that I love, and the Goodwill, where we can take our clothes that we don't use anymore. We can take them to the Goodwill and they make sure to get it out to people. That's another way to minister to people. And especially in this cold season, people out there freezing. And we're inside all warm, and you know what I mean, roasting marshmallows by the fire, singing that Christmas song while we're doing that. And people are out there cold and freezing without jackets, without warmth. We need to be portraying Christ's love. And there's a parable, guys, about a rich man in Luke 16. There's a rich man and Lazarus, and it goes in chapter 16, and talks about these two men and what happened to them. Basically, this rich man is dining, and he's partying and drinking with all his friends and having a merry old time, you know, and there's this man named Lazarus. And it says in this parable that Jesus is talking about, this man is waiting outside the rich man's gate. He's waiting out there for just even the crumbs to fall from this rich man's table so that he can even satisfy himself with that. And it says that dogs come and lick his sores. Because I'm sure, you know, he has some sort of, I don't know, he's all beaten up or something, you know. It says dogs come and are licking his sores to help him feel better. So, and it goes on, it says, later on, they both die at the same time. So the rich man dies that night, and the poor man dies that night. And and it goes on, it says that the rich man lands in Hades, which is hell, and the poor man is in heaven. And he's being comforted by Abraham. He's embraced by Abraham, it says. He's in Abraham's bosom, which is Abraham is holding him, and he's just being comforted by Abraham. And the rich man sees them from across, and he tells Abraham, "Father, let Lazarus just dip his finger in some water and put it on my tongue, just a drop on my tongue to quench this fire, because I'm being tormented," he says. And we can't imagine that. He's in hell, Jesus says, and he's being tormented by this fire. And he says, just let Lazarus dip his finger in some water just to quench my tongue. And Abraham says, no, I'm sorry. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't, because there's this big gulf in between us, and you can't come to us, and likewise, we can't come to you. And then the rich man says, we'll bring back Lazarus from the dead so he can warn my brothers on earth so that they won't be cast out into this place, to warn them that so they can help people like Lazarus so they won't be here where I am being tormented. And Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets for that. And then the rich man says, well, they won't listen to them, you know? Surely if you bring back someone from the dead, they'll listen to him. And Jesus said, and then Abraham says, I'm sorry, even if you bring back someone from the dead, they still will not listen. What does that remind you guys of? Christ. How Christ died on the cross for us, and after his resurrection, a lot of people still did not believe. Even in showing himself for the time that Jesus rose from the dead, they still didn't believe. And people to this day still don't believe. Christ died and rose again, and he's alive to this day, and people still don't believe. And it's sad how heartless these men are. How the Levite and the priest. And one thing that even amazes me, and if you look at, in Luke 10, where we're reading in our passage, how it says that there was a Jewish man from Jerusalem, and that he was beaten up, and then that Samaritan. See, Samaritans and Jews were enemies, and they didn't talk to each other. And we read about that the Samaritan came and helped him. And that was just amazing right off the bat. And if you remember that Jesus, when he was at the well, talking to the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan woman, and she was amazed, like, why is Jesus talking to me? You know, because they didn't do that at all. And if you go back again, how I said in Matthew 25, how Jesus is separating his sheep from his left to his right, guys. At the end of verse 46, it says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And that passage in Matthew, guys, is just amazing to me, how Christ compares us to whatever we do to the least of his people. And we're reading about how this rich man and how this Levite and this priest just walk on by, not having compassion, not caring about that man that's half dead. And Jesus says, whatever you didn't do to the least of my people, you did to me. And in verse 46, he says that they're deserving of punishment. They'll be cast out. And Hebrews 13, 1 through 2, guys, you guys can mark that down and look that up later. It says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. I'll read that again. It says in the beginning in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. That's amazing. Not only did Jesus just compare himself for what we don't, or what we do and what we don't do to the least of his people that we do to him. It says in Hebrews that we unwittingly, that means unknowingly, we have no idea that who's an angel or not, but that there's angels out there disguised as people, and that if we don't help them or we do help them, those are angels. That's insane. That just to think of that, if we're helping somebody in need, that could be an angel in disguise. Isn't that crazy? And even farther than that, Jesus compares it, whatever we do it to him. Whatever we do to the least of his people. That's amazing. Like I said, guys, I'm telling you some stories in my life, and a few stories come to mind about my grandma and how she was always helping people. And one memory I recall was because she lived in Las Lunas, and she had a big trailer, and she had about 2 acres of land. And there was this man, I remember, and he was riding his bike, and he was going door to door asking for work because, you know, he needed work, and he didn't have any money, and he was hungry and going door to door. And he goes to my grandma's door, and my grandma's like, oh, come in. She said, come in. I remember I was there because I was always there. I'm really close to my grandma. She invited him in, and my grandma's like, let me cook. You're hungry. You have to be hungry, right? So she sits him down in the kitchen, and she makes him food. She's starting to cook for him. And when my grandma cooks, she cooks. Like, she doesn't cook for one. There was just one guy. When she cooked for him, she'll cook for like 100 people, like a whole banquet. You know what I mean? And we're Hispanic in our family, so she's making like frijoles and tortillas. For those of you who don't know what that means, it's beans and tortillas. You guys can't understand Spanish. But she's making green chili enchiladas. She's making red chili enchiladas. She's making pozole, all these things. A whole like plethora of food for just this one guy. And she says, well, let me hire you. You know, you're looking for work. I have 2 acres of land. I have a whole vegetable garden that needs tending to, that I need help with. And let me hire you. So she hires him. And she pays him to work in his yard every day. And so, well, do you have a place to stay? Well, no. Well, let me invite you into this room we have, a spare bedroom. And you're thinking, your grandma's crazy for inviting some stranger in, right? He's going to kill us. But no. I mean, God was protecting us, being there with my sisters and my grandma, because she's having compassion on that man. She's seeing that he's hurting. She's seeing that he needs help. She's seeing that he's hungry. And he's in need. So she invites him in. He says, come, here's a place to stay. And what does that remind you of? How we read in Luke chapter 10. At the end of Luke, it says that the Samaritan man came, he bandaged all his wounds, and on top of that, he put him on his donkey and took him to an inn or a hotel, as it would be nowadays. And he took him in and he pays for the man to stay there. And it just amazes me that all my life that my grandma's done that. Constantly, people are in and out of my grandma's house, constantly. And it just amazes me of how much crowns my grandma's going to have in heaven for doing these things. And that brings me to my next point, guys, being a compassionate person, the compassionate man. If we read in verse 33 with me, Luke chapter 10. It says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Stop right there. So right off the bat, guys, after reading about the priest walking on by and reading about the Levite coming and looking down and then walking on by, we see a Samaritan. And like I said before, remember of how Samaritan and Jews didn't get along. They were enemies. And Jesus says a Samaritan comes and sees this Jewish man on the side of the road, half dead, beaten, and he helps him. Like, wow, this person is my enemy, but I'm gonna help him. I see that he's in need. I want to show compassion on him. I want to show Christ's love. And he takes him, like I said, to an inn, and he pays for it. And on top of that, not only does he pay for his room, he says, and whatever more you spend on him while he's staying here, I will come back and pay you. And at the end, Jesus says, after that parable, you and go do likewise. That we need to be doing that, guys. Out of all the practical ways, all the practical examples I showed you of how we can minister to our mom, and we can minister to our neighbors, and we can minister to all these poor people, Christ says, go and do likewise. We need to be out there. We need to be helping these poor people, helping these homeless people, getting involved in organizations like Joy Junction or the Goodwill, and just clothes we don't use, we don't need. Like I said, we are blessed with so much things we take advantage of. And there's another story, guys, that happened to me. I was driving down 4th Street. And I was driving down 4th Street, I was stopped at a light, and I looked to my right, and I see this woman. It was a young girl. She's probably about in her 20s. She looked really young, and she's holding a sign, you know, saying she was hungry. Or I forget, it was a while back, but, you know, whatever the sign was, that she was hungry, she needed help, whatever. And my heart just broke with her. I was like, how can she be so young on the side of the road, and she's out here holding a sign? Like, I don't know what her situation is. That my heart just broke for her. And so I had somewhere to go, but I was like, I gotta help her. I have to help her. So the light turned green, and there was a Walgreens right next to us across the street. So I turn into Walgreens, and I go inside, and I buy a big thing of like Sunny Delight. Like a big old thing. It's like, this should, you know, last her for a while, you know? And I go and I get some food, you know, because there wasn't any grocery stores around. So that's all I had to work with, was just food in Walgreens. So I got her a bunch of food, and then I got a card. And in the card, I wrote down some scripture, and I wrote down how, if she's not saved, that how she can know Jesus, and how that she can have a relationship with Jesus. And I even wrote down my number, and I closed it in the letter, and I put it in this bag, and I went across the street, and I gave it to her. And she's kind of looking at me like, who's this guy walking up to me, you know? And I'm like, here you go. I give her this bag. And she's like, wow, thank you so much. You know, she looked like she wanted to cry. And she was so amazed that I would come and just give her this. And you can tell that she was hungry because how quickly she accepted that. It's like, thank you. And I said, well, and here's a letter too. And you can read it. And I left my number in there. And if you need anything, call me, please, and let me know how you're doing, or if you need anything else, I'll help you. She never called me, but, you know, it's just, I saw the need in her and how hungry she was, and I wanted to help her. And not because I want to say like, oh yeah, I'm always helping out people and I'm so good. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about portraying Christ's love, guys. When we see people like that hurting, there's a crazy percentage of people, like I said earlier, in the United States and even in New Mexico, right here in Albuquerque, that are poor and that are hurting, that need clothes, that wear the same clothes every day. And it just amazes me how there's not enough help out there. It's not at all. And I can recall another story. I was stopped right when I got off the freeway at Eubank. I just came home from my mom's house on a Sunday, and she gave me these two pies. And I was all excited because they had lemon meringue pies, like my favorite. And I forgot the other one was like chocolate or something like that. And so I'm stopped at this line. There's this guy, and he's kind of crippled. And he's walking, you know, a little crippled. And he's holding the sign. And I was like, oh, man. Again, like my heart was hurting for this guy. And so I didn't have any money, but I was like, if he's hungry, you know, he'll take one of my pies. So I bring him to the door. And Jessica was with me at the time, and she was like, don't, you know, I'm driving, you know, just kind of scared. Like, I was like, it's okay, I'm right here next to you, it's going to be fine, you know. And I was like, here you go, dude, here's, and he's like, thank you. He's just like, and he was, I believe, was a little mentally challenged, but he was like, thank you. And he's so happy, his face lit up. And that's what we need to be doing, guys. We need to be helping people like that. We need to be showing Christ's love. Like we read before, guys, in Matthew, the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all our hearts, all our soul, and all our mind. But what's the second greatest commandment? To love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's what we need to be doing, guys, portraying Christ's love. And if you read with me again in Luke chapter 10, verse 33, all the way down. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Like I said before, guys, there's so many ways that we could be helping people. If we see a good way for you guys, for your age, to help people, like if you're at lunch at school and you see your friend doesn't have enough money to pay for his lunch, and he's like starving. Like, here, dude, here's a dollar. Go get a pizza. Or I don't know how much it costs these days, but get him a snack. Get him some chips or something. Help him out. That's your neighbor. Everyone other than yourself is your neighbor. And we need to be helping our neighbors. And what's cool, and one thing we've done and always done in the past years in Velocity, guys, is this thing called Ding Dong Ditch. Has anyone been a part of that? It's amazing. I love how we can just come and we have a set of people where we want to go, and we just go to Walmart and buy all these groceries, buy all these things that we think these people would need, clothes, anything. And we go and we put it all on the doorstep, ring the doorbell, and take off. I love that. And then they open the door and they're just, you know, so thankful. Like, who would do this? And they never know. They never know it's you guys. And I just think that is such a great example of showing Christ's love and what we should be doing, guys. It's amazing to me just to even see the look on people's face, or just to hear about how of a blessing you guys were. And that's what we need to be doing, guys, showing Christ's love. Like I said before, guys, in all the New Testament, Christ is constantly helping anyone he comes across. And even more, I love how the Samaritan, being the Jew's enemy, still goes and helps him. If you guys have enemies, if you guys have somebody you don't like, or somebody you don't get along with, rather, because you should love everybody, but somebody that you don't get along with, or that maybe somebody that's picking on you, and you see them in need, help them. Guys, there's so many practical ways where you guys can apply it to your own lives, where we could be helping each other. And I'll close with this last story, guys. You guys all know that I broke my back last year. You know, and falling from the tree right in front, right there. And just the repercussions of that, guys, the effects of that happening, I lost my job because of that. Because I had to be out for months and they didn't want to give me months off. I lost my job. I had to like pay for all these bills that were coming up. It's like, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? And is actually one of the, is all the leader's idea, but the main guy that was his main idea to come up with this idea was actually Brian. And he came up with the fund, Richard Fell on His Head Fund. And he got all the leaders, and all the leaders just came and just put money in, and put money in. And I remember Kevin, I forget if it was Kevin or not, they brought me up and they said, here, Richard, we all got this money for you. And just because we know that you lost your job. We know that you need help. I almost started crying. I did cry. I was starting to tear up, and I didn't want to like just completely just break down, but I was like, what another awesome example of showing Christ's love. When they see a brother in need, that they just come alongside him, and it just helped me. And that's what we need to be doing, guys. If you see someone in here that needs help, or if any of you guys need help, come talk to us, come talk to me, come talk to a leader, and we'll try to find a way to help you guys. Or if you know of somebody that you want to help, a family or something, we'll think of an event or something, or a fundraiser to raise up something to help the family. There's so many ways where you can do that, guys, and we have unlimited resources to do that here at a church like this. So remember, guys, to show Christ's love like this Samaritan man did. Show Christ's love everywhere you go. Because what do we call ourselves? Christians, right? We call ourselves Christians. We need to be acting Christ-like and showing love, love. What I like to say is this is a 66-book love letter. Because it's all about love. Everywhere you read, constantly about love. So if you guys need anything, come talk to me. I'll be up here. Come talk to a leader, and we'll close with prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this time, Lord. For this message that you have prepared, Father God. Showing us the many examples of being like your Son, Lord. Of being Christ-like. Of representing your name. We just thank you, Father God, for being that example for us. In your whole entire word here, Father God, the many examples in the Old and New Testament of constantly showing love to one another and how we need to be showing love constantly, Lord. And I just pray that we have a better understanding, Lord, as we leave today about how to love our neighbors, that we just get so excited and so fired up that we just want to help as much people as we can, Father God, that if we see people on the side of the road, that we just want to help them, Lord, that we just see their need and our hearts just hurt for them, Father God, and that we can help them in any way we can, Lord. In the same way with any other ways, Father God, with our families, with our neighbors that we live next to, Lord, and even strangers, Lord. And I just pray, Father God, that we can just be fired up for this and to obey the first and greatest commandment, Father God, which is to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Father God. And the second one is just like it, Father God, to love our neighbors as ourselves, Father God. Help us to show as much love as we can, Father God. We thank you for this time, Lord. I just pray that you keep us all safe as we leave here today, Lord, and that we can just dwell on what we've learned today, Father God, this morning. And we just say this in Jesus' name. Amen.